This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40. 40, 40, 40, 40. You know I could run the fastest 40. Heard about it, now they asking for me. You know I could run the fastest 40.
You know I could run the fastest 40.
Run a rider, amen, pass it to me. Amen, amen, pass it to me. 40.
What's going on, everybody? It's Dan and Trey with the Fastest 40 here. We have a special guest joining us from Niners Nation, Brian Rennick, co-host of the No Huddle podcast on the Odyssey Sports app. You can listen to that wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple, the whole deal. Also, one of the editors over at the 49ers Web Zone. Make sure you check them out on Twitter as well. Brian, thank you so much for sharing some time with us and coming on the show.
Awesome. Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
No, absolutely. It's a pleasure to get the perspective from the other side of the aisle. And I think that's a lot of what we're going to, talk through today. Niners, first and foremost, have had an incredible season. The way you guys have played through the NFC, you guys have made it look like a hot knife through butter kind of up to this point. So hats off to you guys, getting back into this game, and definitely excited to see what this rematch has in store for us.
Yeah, I would almost argue that the last two games have been some of the worst for the 49ers, even though they occurred in the NFC Championship game in the divisional round. But with that being said, they did beat every single NFC playoff team this year, whether it be in the regular season or the playoffs. So again, something to hang their hat on. And then outside of those 2020, 2021 Super Bowl Chiefs, they are now the second team to be favored in every game that they played during the season, as long as that Vegas line holds up right now.
Yeah, we'll see.
Wow, I didn't know that.
We'll see how that shakes out. I feel like the public is riding the Chiefs pretty hard going into this, and maybe it's because they're giving Mahomes points again. But
hey, when you've got arguably second best quarterback. I mean, it's hard for me to say. I still think that belongs to Joe Montana. But hey, you know what? If Patrick Mahomes wins this one, and he's 3-1 in Super Bowls, and he's been in an AFC Championship game every year that he's been a starter, it's hard to argue that he doesn't fall into that number two status. And then it's just about chasing the GOAT, who is Tom Brady.
Everyone's chasing him, man.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we'll jump Brian into some questions here. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Trey.
No. Get it, man. Let's get after it.
Yeah. So I was just thinking, everything we've seen from the media so far, we've seen a couple of Niners players come up to the podium, talk about, holding or with York kind of coming in and saying the same deal. What has been your thoughts on the discourse kind of going into this game?
It's funny, that I know as a 49er fan and a content creator, that was one of the biggest gripes when it comes to that Super Bowl in 2020, Super Bowl 54, 49ers felt like there was a lot of holding that wasn't called against Nick Bosa. And then, I think that's also just Bosa knowing Juwan Taylor and knowing Juwan Taylor's game, and Juwan Taylor does hold a lot. He was the most flagged tackle for holding in the NFL this season. So I don't think it's necessarily a secret, if you will. So I think that's just kind of, you know, par for the course when it comes to line play. But, you know, and then I know for a lot of Chiefs fans, because I heard it on Twitter, you know, the complaint about the practice field, which, you know, to be fair, is something that, it's not just the 49ers. The NFLPA came out today and said, yeah, that field is not up to par. And so, you know, it is what it is. You know, the Chiefs are the home team because the AFC is home team in even years, and the NFC is home team in odd years. So, you know, as a fan, it's not necessarily feeling like, hey, you know, the Chiefs are screwing over the 49ers or whatever. It's just, you know, an advantage. But it seems like Kyle Shanahan and the team have kind of overcome that, if you will. You know, Kyle was asked again today, is there anything? He's like, no, you know, we practiced on it today. We're not changing anything. So, you know, I think it's sometimes just manufactured storylines just to get more, you know, more content out there, if you will. But I just think it's, you know, it you're going into a Super Bowl against a team that is, you know, been here before, done that, and with a quarterback that, you know, like I said, if he wins this one, is probably, you know, vaulted into that number two status. So, you know, head games, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, in the end, it will be decided on the field, and that's the most important part.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
I respect that. Yeah,
looking at the whole postseason for the Chiefs here. Sorry, Dale.
I think with Bosa, too. With your comments with Nick Bosa, I think it is fair that he said that, because it is clear that we have been the most penalized team, specifically when it comes to our offensive line play. So it is a tough pill to swallow for Chiefs fans, because we feel like a lot of times, at least, you know, everyone's on Twitter, we see that is not necessarily always the case, you know, where it's like, hey, somebody's missing a call against the Chiefs, and it's like, oh, that's a weird concept for us to even grasp.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and looking at the postseason in a whole, really, you look at the Chiefs, specifically divisional and AFC, like there's been such a media buildup of the Chiefs being the villain. I think there was a little, you know, everybody's trying to build that up going to the Super Bowl too, to try to get that same vibe going in against the Niners, right? So I expected some other things to kind of pop out and blow that up a little bit more. But the Niners done a great job. I'm trying to deflect that stuff and not build up that second-headed beast that the Chiefs seem to do with the media. But to jump into some of the, you know, jump into the Niners offense, explosive offense, you know, tons of weapons across the board. And how do you think that offense of the Niners matches up against this defense for the Chiefs that really we just got this year, where we haven't had a good defense like this in several years?
Yeah, not only that, you're the youngest defense in the NFL. So, you know, you got that going for you guys as well. But, you know, if I'm being perfectly honest, when it came to the AFC Championship game, I wanted the Chiefs to win. And I wanted the Chiefs to win for a semblance of revenge, obviously, as a Niner fan, right? You know, the Ravens also beat the 49ers the time, you know, in 2012. But that was a different era. That was the Harbaugh era, right? Like, that's water under the bridge. This is a 49ers team that lost to the Chiefs in the Kyle Shanahan era, felt like we had that game in hand, and then, you know, it slipped away. And so there's that semblance of revenge. But also, I feel like when it comes to a defense, the Chiefs' defense, their defensive weakness matches up really well with the 49ers' strength, which is running the ball. In fact, the 49ers were first in the league on zone runs on yards per carry, and the Chiefs were 31st defending zone runs. And so, to me, it begins and ends with Christian McCaffrey in that run game. I hope Kyle Shanahan has kind of learned his lesson from the game plan that he had in against the Packers in the divisional round, and then against the Lions in the NFC Championship game. I thought both of those game plans were a little I was surprised by them, especially that Green Bay game plan where he came out just guns blazing, throwing the ball against a team that very much like the Chiefs struggled defending the run. The fact that he didn't run as much in that game was really surprising to me. So, again, I think the biggest the biggest advantage the 49ers have is in the run game against that Chiefs defense, because that Chiefs defense is really, really good defending the pass. Legarius Sneed is a stud. Trent McDuffie is a stud. You know, Steve Spagnuolo is arguably in my mind, the greatest postseason defensive coordinator in history. In fact, again, if the Chiefs win this one, he'll be the first coordinator to win 4 Super Bowl rings in history. So again, just a guy that knows what he's doing in the postseason, and his ability to disguise coverage and things like that, which I know, again, can confuse Brock Purdy a little bit, as evidenced by that Ravens game. So that was where I was like, I want the Chiefs, not because I don't think Patrick Mahomes can pull it off again. I'm afraid of Patrick Mahomes every time he steps on the field against my team, but yeah. It's more about where are the matchups and where can I find an advantage. And to me, the biggest advantage is the 49ers run game versus the Chiefs run defense.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, I mean, sure. It's definitely notated that that's our defensive shortcoming, you know, and you guys have the most dynamic running back in the league at the moment.
Yeah.
Has been for the last probably 3-4 seasons, to tell you the truth. So definitely going to be a key focus, I think, for the Chiefs to try and limit him as much as you can limit Christian McCaffrey, sure. If yeah. That's even a possibility. But I think this is a perfect segue into the next question here, which is, you know, what is your confidence level in Brock Purdy? He's poised beyond his years, right? He's always shown yeah. that ability to stay very even keeled, very neutral in those moments. But this is the biggest stage. And so I just was curious about what your confidence level was out with him in this game.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I think the second half of both playoff games has actually increased my confidence level. Because the first half of both those games, he did not play very well. And I think he would be the first person to tell you that he didn't. And the fact that he was able to come out, especially in that NFC Championship game, again, the biggest stage that he's ever played on, because outside of that game, he played the first series against the Eagles and got injured, right? And he still played the rest of the game. But, I mean, he wasn't playing. He was just handing off to Christian McCaffrey. So, you know, for him to come on the biggest stage down 17 and not blink, and not only not blink, but be a large reason why they made that comeback, it just, again, to me, increased my confidence level. And then on top of that, just to see how he has handled himself the past couple days at the Super Bowl during media day on Monday and even today, you know, you can see there's just some guys that they just have what it takes. Patrick Mahomes is one of them. That's, again, I think one of the biggest reasons why Patrick Mahomes is as good as he is because there's been no situation that's been too big for him. And that has been my biggest, that's been what has impressed me the most with Brock Purdy since, you know, coming in that Miami game, is that there hasn't seemed to be a situation that seemed too big for him. Even in that Ravens debacle on Christmas Day, I don't necessarily feel like that happened because it was too big for him. It was just simply a bad matchup, and he played poorly. And, you know, I don't feel like he was pressing. I don't feel like he was, you know, seeing ghosts like Sam Darnold or whatever you know, whatever you want to say. It's just a poor game, and that's going to happen. You're going to get got in the NFL. And it just is what it is. So, I'm confident in Brock. I know that Steve Spagnuolo's defense is going to be difficult for him. But I have confidence that as long as he plays within himself, which he tends to do, I'm not concerned about him. I think this is still a Christian McCaffrey game. I think if the 49ers win this, it's because of Christian McCaffrey, not Brock Purdy. But if Brock Purdy is needed to win, I have confidence that he can.
Yeah. That's been a huge conversation too. And to your point on Christmas Day, man, I mean, I think Chiefs fans were sitting in the same boat because we played just before you guys and just got wrecked by the Raiders.
Yeah.
And to your point, man, I mean, guys get got, and Patrick Mahomes had an awful game on Christmas Day against a division opponent, against the most hated team in Kansas City. And so that was tough for us to watch. But, you know, we've talked about the rematch to the Super Bowl a little bit from a few years ago with the Niners and the Chiefs. But to kind of go into that a little bit where Kyle Shanahan is 0-3 against Andy Reid, you know, what kind of goes into that? How does that play into the game? You know, looking back on that game, how is that a factor going into the Niners going into this game?
I think there's some demons that Kyle Shanahan needs to exercise when it comes to these big games. And I think to a certain extent, he didn't necessarily exercise them the past two playoff games. Although again, coming 17 points down in the second half, that is at least a step in the right direction. But me, it's about, has Kyle Shanahan kind of learned from the mistakes that he's made in big games like this? And I have to think that he has. And I don't necessarily think it's Kyle Shanahan against Andy Reid. Sometimes I think it's Kyle Shanahan against himself. And, you know, when you're a guy like Kyle Shanahan and you've been lauded your whole career for just being an offensive genius, an offensive play calling genius, right? You know, the preeminent scheme in the NFL, right? Like, you could argue that half, if not more, of the NFL is at least incorporating some part of Kyle Shanahan's scheme in their offense. True. Guys like that, sometimes I think can overthink it and can outthink themselves. And, you know, it was interesting. I had the opportunity to interview Mark Schlereth earlier this week for the No Huddle podcast. And I brought up kind of how confusing those game plans were against Green Bay and Detroit. And what he thought, you know, whether or not he thought that Kyle Shanahan, you know, would learn from those. And again, in this game, really lean on the run game because that's his biggest advantage. And, you know, Schlereth talked about his time with the Broncos. And I believe it was still when Mike Shanahan was there and they had a playoff game against the Jaguars. And he talked about how that year they had Terrell Davis and, they just were a ground and pound team. And he said that, you know, they did install and had their first practice. And then Wednesday night he was at home and his wife's like, what's wrong? And he's like, I think we're going to lose this game. And he said it was because the game plan that Mike Shanahan implemented had all these, like, if we're going to run the ball, but if they show us this look, we're going to check into a pass. And he was like, that's not who we are. Like, I don't know why we're implementing this game plan. And sure enough, in that game, they lost because almost every time that they were going to run the ball, the Jaguars gave them the look to check into a pass and played right into the Jaguars defense hand. So, you know, sometimes the best can outthink themselves. And it's just my hope that Kyle Shanahan doesn't, because, you know, I do think that this is a really, really evenly matched matchup, which just sounds lame, but yeah, they're very evenly matched. But the interesting thing to me is I feel like the script has kind of flipped a little bit, where the 49ers come in with the really dangerous offense and the Chiefs come in with the really dangerous defense. Whereas in 2020, it was the other way around. And so, you know, that year, the team with the more dynamic offense won, and hopefully that's the case again this season.
No, I think with Kyle Shanahan, he gets a lot of comparisons to Andy Reid early in his career, where he's this, you know, game-changing offensive game planner. but would just get caught up in the details at times, and it would come back to bite them in the biggest games on the biggest stages. If you remember with the Eagles, he was 1-4 in NFC championship games, and then ultimately lost that Super Bowl to the Patriots. So I see a lot of similarities between Shanahan and Reed and what they've done from an offensive standpoint and how they coach the game and how they approach things. I think their players would run through a wall for either of those guys. And oh, you just for sure. can see the parallels between those two. I do have a question about your defense, right?
Yeah.
So many big name players on that side of the ball for the Niners, but noticeably Hufanga is not going to be on the field for you guys, having torn his ACL back in November. How big of a loss is he, knowing that he would likely be getting a lot of the looks against Kelce, and knowing that that's the focal point for the Chiefs offense? How do you think the Niners are going to overcome that?
Yeah. You know, Hufanga was a big loss because, very much like Brock Purdy, he's a bit of a football savant. And Tayshaun Gibson, who, you know, I believe he's 32 now, he came in as just a veteran in camp last year, ended up making the squad because of injuries, and then ended up starting when Jimmy Ward went down, and never lost that job. But one thing that he talked about with Hufanga was last year, which was Hufanga's second year, but he oftentimes would be telling Gibson, like, oh, hey, here's where you need to go, or here's the play call, this is what you're looking for. Like, just his knowledge of the defense was so impressive. And so I think they missed that on the back end, a guy who understands the defense inside and out. But I also don't think Hufanga would have been the answer to Travis Kelce, because as good as Hufanga is, to me, the strength of his game is in run support. His coverage skills are decent, but, you know, I think Kelce would probably get the better of him. And so I also just don't think there's really any stopping Travis Kelce. I think you can try and slow him down, but you know, when the lights are brightest, that guy just seems to show up and show out. So I don't know that, again, Hufanga would be necessarily a key in stopping Kelce. But I think the key in stopping Kelce is just making sure that they are sound in their tackling, which they haven't been the past couple games. So to me, that's a definitely a big key to slowing down this Chiefs offense, which isn't as explosive, but it's efficient, and it is very good at kind of grinding you down and getting conversions. And they might not have the flashiness of the Tyreek Hill Chiefs, but they can really own the clock and kind of, it's almost similar to what the 49ers were in 2019, right? Where they just want to just bleed the clock on you and just give you as few possessions as possible. To me, the Chiefs are that team now versus the 49ers, who do rely a little bit more on explosive plays. And so, again, part of the chess match of Sunday.
Yeah. And really, that Chiefs offense just started that with, like, last month, right? So I mean, the Chiefs offense struggled all year, as you know. I mean, that was the main focal point for ESPN. Whoever's talking football was talking about how bad the Chiefs offense was, right? So, you know, we just turned the corner, and it was tough to watch there for several weeks, as we've seen over the last 5 years. You know, that offense has been dominant. So, flip the script here, but, you know, Brian, if you had to pick somebody from the Niners, you know, offense, defense, special teams, whoever may be, coaching staff even, if you had to pick an X factor for you guys to win the game, this person has to execute at 100%, who's that person going to be?
I'm going to say Colt McKivitz, our right tackle, who will probably see a fair amount of time against Chris Jones, who then that terrifies me. So if he can at least slowed Chris Jones down or at best hold his own, I think that will go a long way in not only a victory for the 49ers, but to make sure that Brock Purdy can operate that passing offense to the best of his ability. But outside of that, I would say that on the offensive side, you know, how does McKivitz hold up in pass protection? And then on the defensive side, I'm gonna go with Ambry Thomas, who comes in when the 49ers go into their nickel package. Diamandola Knorr, who plays outside with Charvarius Ward, former Chief, on base downs, he kicks into nickel and Ambry Thomas plays on the outside. And the minute that he comes in, teams tend to pick on him. And so he has flashes of brilliance, which is why he was a third round pick for the 49ers in 2020. But he's also been picked on quite a bit. And so if he can play up to his ability, then that would be huge for the 49ers. But to me, that's going to probably be the X factor on defense.
Love that. So we'll hit you with just two more questions before we get you out of here. Appreciate you taking all the time with us too tonight. Score prediction for the game. Where do you think this lands? Niners, Chiefs, and then what are your plans for the game? What do you do out there in Niners country for the Super Bowl?
That's a great question. As far as score prediction, I genuinely believe that this is probably a race to 24 for whichever team wins. Again, the Chiefs have not allowed more than 20 points except for three times this season. I guess you would call the through line of those three games was it came against teams that ran the ball on them effectively. And that was the Packers, the Bills, and the Broncos. And the Chiefs were 1-2 in that game. And so again, I think it's going to be lower scoring because of that. I think both teams are going to try and grind the other team down. I think the Chiefs are going to lean on Isaiah Pacheco a lot. Cause again, the 49ers have much like the Chiefs have kind of shown a vulnerability to the run. I'll be interested to see if the changes that we saw Steve Wilks make in the second half where he kicked Eric Armstead out to set the edge better in the second half against the Lions, which really limited their run game a lot. I'm interested to see if he implements that for the full game against the Chiefs or not. But like I said, I think it's a race of 24, but I do think the 49ers have what it takes to win. Obviously, as a Niner content creator, I'm going to pick my squad. You guys are probably going to pick your squad, but I think the final score is going to be 27-24 San Francisco. I don't think that's going to be a game-winning field goal from Jake Moody. I think if that score holds 27-24, I think that means that the 49ers will be down 24-20 at some point and score a touchdown and then hold on for the victory. So again, I'll say 27-24 San Francisco. And then as far as game watching goes, it's funny, my co-host on the No Huddle podcast, Al Sacco, we both are similar in that if my team is in it, I don't want to be at a party. I don't want a bunch of people there. Like I'm locked into the game. And so, most Sundays, my family and our good friends, who are also Niner fans, we switch off. They'll come to our house. We'll go to their house. So they're coming over and it's just them. And it's just my buddy, Tim and I, who will be watching the game. And like I said, if my squad's in it, I don't want any of that noise from a party or I don't want to be distracted by people asking me questions or whatever. I just want to be focused on the game because, again, it is a passion of mine and I don't want to offend anybody by, ignoring them or whatever. So yeah, just leave me be, I'll watch it with my buddy and we'll call it good.
No, I love that. That's the hard part about being a content creator, I think, is everyone wants to get your perspective on the game, which is awesome. That's why we do it, right? But sometimes it's like, let's reserve those times.
Trying to watch this.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. No, that's incredible. Absolutely. I love it. Well, Brian, really appreciate you taking the time to join us and kind of talk through everything. Well, I may not agree with your score prediction. I did love having you on and hearing the insight into, you know, which way you think this game's going to go and all the elements that go with it. Before you go, tell everybody where they can find you on your socials and some of the stuff you're into.
Yeah, again, so Al Sacco and I host the 49ers Web Zone No Huddle podcast, a part of the Odyssey Network. And then, like you said earlier, I am the content editor for 49ers Web Zone. And then if you want to follow me, even though you're a Chiefs fan, I would appreciate it. You can rag on me, you can or I'll rag on you, depending on how the game goes. But you can find me on Twitter at BRennick 77. So BRENICK 77.
Awesome. Brian, appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Ray. Have a good one, guys.